Welcome to the Round 6 Podcast, a weekly roundtable discussion featuring a variety of automotive subjects, interviews, special guests, and stories, hosted by the Round 6 Gearheads, Brian Stupski, Brad King, Alex Welsh, and Eric Hibbs. On episode 10, the Gearheads go all Hollywood and talk movie cars and movies and whatever. Welcome to the Round 6 Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Brad.
I'm Alex.
I'm Eric.
And we're just kind of kicking back tonight. Decided to just do a little kind of a round table with just the guys again. I had thrown out the idea to do a topic loosely based on the old teddy bear wheels and kind of do like, you know, a zoo wheels theme where we figured out what animal would work best for a relaunch of those. The guy shot me down on that, but
that's because you had so many comments on the Aquarius wheels from 2 weeks ago, you know, with the fish in them.
Oh, so man, that was great.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for a call back from them. I sent them a rendering.
Aquarius.
Their big question was, you know, those fish tend to poop a lot, and I figure, you know, it's going to be an algae problem. The brakes heat up, so.
Well, you ever seen it? Carlsick goldfish, it's not pretty.
You can throw a filter in it, and, you know, I mean, as you're spinning, you know, I mean, assuming that the car actually ran, you know, while you're driving down the road, it just collect all that stuff. Just change your filter every, you know, 3,000 miles and you know, maybe change water.
When you rotate your tires, you change the filters. That's
and the fish.
And the fish.
You get that sucker really wound up on the freeway, you could play like, hey, Finding Dory. You know, and speaking of that, though, like, yeah, I mean, some creatures lend themselves well to you know, an animal shaped wheel. Okay, the starfish, for instance, right? Done.
True. Yeah,
giraffe.
I think we call those Kragers or you know, torque thrusts. And
somebody needs to paint one peach and paint a picture of Patrick on it from SpongeBob or something.
Oh, there you go. The Patrick edition.
Patrick. I like it. Speaking of sponges, though, you can't really do a wheel based off of a natural sponge that looks good, you know? What do you call this wheel?
Porous aluminum out there.
What do you call that wheel? We call it the never machined anything before.
Yeah, it's called the anemone.
Anemone. Yeah, all other wheels are jealous, but you can be the anemone of
anemone of the people.
It's the anemone of good design.
Whoa.
Well, this one's stupid.
So we're right on track.
Exactly. Great. So one of the things we had kind of discussed was, you know, we're on the topic of movies and TV and stuff like that. And I mean, it seems kind of like a no-brainer to sit and discuss, you know, favorite movie cars or favorite movie chase scenes. We had even thrown around great movie, you know, chase crossovers that you'd never see. I mean, you know, what if you replace a famous, you know, a famous heist car with one from another movie? You know, so you get some guy who goes to get out in his getaway car, and instead of being something really tricking cool, like, I mean, have any of you guys seen the movie Baby Driver?
Yes.
Okay.
A long time ago. Yes.
And like, you know, he starts off, he's driving that little what is it, like a Lancer?
It was like, yeah, it was either an Evo or a WRX, one of the two.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know. You know, they go out and he picks them up in that. But imagine, you know, these guys come running out of the bank and, you know, there it is. Like
the Beverly Hillbillies car. What if it was like Dick Van Dyke and, you know, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? You stand in the front, waiting to crank it over. See, it's like, I'm ready.
But once you get going, you can fly.
You fly. See, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're not even going to get you flying. The helicopters don't have a chance.
Oh, my. See, that would be a great one. And then if you think about it, though, the ultimate ever getaway car, of course, DeLorean. At least the Back to the Future DeLorean.
Only if it would actually transport you back in time.
What about Herbie?
See, oh, no. Hey, wait a second.
You know, that's a good escape vehicle. Herbie be good. I mean, the numbers kind of give him away. It's not like he's going to blend in traffic, but...
Herbie can do anything.
Cutting right down the middle. Half the crew
there
goes to the left.
There you go.
Half the crew goes to the right.
Goes one way.
But thinking back to it now, okay, wasn't Herbie kind of sentient, though? I mean, Herbie kind of knew what he was doing, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Herbie was a smart Volkswagen. Yes.
The original smart car, if you get down to it. I mean, that's
absolutely
kind of scary.
Yes.
That's, wow. So, okay, so if you have all these different cars in the world, like, okay, you've got Herbie, okay, my mother, the car.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, I always picture watching that show. It's like, hey, it's my mother, the car. And there's got to be some smart ass out there going, eh, I always pictured your mom as more of an RV, but, you know. Kind of a recreational vehicle, if you catch
kind
me.
Kind of an eight-passenger van,
out,
if you know what
up.
I mean.
How, like, that just brings me to how many, like, okay, the Knight Rider car, the kit, whatever it was,
of
the
course.
Knight Industries 2000 or whatever it
yeah,
was, right?
Knight Industries J2000, right?
So. Ooh.
Somebody close.
It's close.
That was a trick question, Eric. Good one.
Nicely played. Double points for Eric.
Oh, come on, Knight Rider.
It has my favorite button in it, which never made any sense. The button called Turbo Boost.
Well, that's a lot.
It's because you've never had one.
That ruined every little kid on the planet going, I want a car that has Turbo Boost. Well,
okay. Yeah, but wouldn't that be cool to have Turbo on demand?
Yeah, but it took 40 years for everybody to suddenly think that if you hit nitrous, it's like hitting Mach 8 in about 30 feet.
That's like the go, baby, go button.
You know, it blows off sections of floorboards, you know.
And apparently you can hit it too soon, and it'll set off your gauge that says manifold pressure.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
With a vacuum motor. I'm not really sure how that works.
Yeah, do they ever consult with anybody when they make this shit?
Well, but here's the thing.
Well, 12-year-old boys, yeah.
But this is the great part about it. Now, if you think car movies like that are kind of like comic books, right? You just suspend all belief and you go for it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, man, imagine if you had like tons of... Maybe there should be comic book car crossover movies. You could have, you know, then just all I want this for is I just want to see the hashtag on Twitter that says, make love bugs, not war machines.
How about a crossover like the Flintstones car, you know, Batman runs and jumps in the Flintstones car with Wing, you know, with I don't know.
Wait, that would be
with Barney instead of Robin? That's a little weird.
There you go. Yeah. Like Barney and Leotards. And
then Joey Chitwood thrill show mashup of the Flintstone mobile and the Batman tumbler.
There you go.
Oh, dude. If anybody's listening, we own the rights. All rights to these movie ideas being passed around our property.
But see, now we need Herbie again. See, because Herbie always ran around on two wheels. He always went sideways, so he was always part of the Joey Chitwood thing without actually knowing it. He was an honorary member.
And never a dent.
Oh, no. Yeah. Never.
I'm like, that would be, whoa. That's a whole other topic, I think, for some time. We need to have, next time we have a painter on or a body man, that's going to be our topic with them. What is your favorite undamaged vehicle in a movie chase scene?
That drives me nuts. I know it does you guys, too. Is, you know, you'll see a car come, you know, four-wheel drift and slide into and, you know, and take off the side of another car. And the next scene, there's no damage to that car. They just pisses me off.
I like all the crash scenes in Bullet that never seem to, you know, go away. Cars have really bad understeer. They plow into a car, but yet the chase keeps going when there's no damage to the car. You go, you just totaled out a VW bus 30 feet ago. I don't know what happened.
Oh, and hubcaps that are missing that aren't missing in the next scene, stuff like that. I'm just like, oh.
Well, if you didn't know, I'm alone in that. from 68 through 71, well, early 71, all Dodge products came with the multi-layer hubcap option.
It was like tear-offs for hubcaps. Is that what it was? You just lost a hubcap. No, I'm good. There's another one there. It's fine. They're in layers.
I would love to do a mockumentary wherein it's like you just show all this extended footage of you know, these people whose cars did get hit, like saying Bullet, you know, comes around that corner and plows into that parked car. It just takes off. You're the person that comes out, you know, with your groceries. You're like, what the shit? The insurance claims of famous movies.
Or their Middle Eastern guy that owns the gas station and blows up at the end. I go out to get a sandwich.
Explain to me again what happens, sir.
No, the guy comes walking out of the bathroom with the car rim with the chain and the key attached to it as this gas station's blowing up.
The back of his pants smoldering.
The car rim with the key on it.
Oh, and just, man, for product placement, there's a Taco Bell bag laying there.
Oh, man.
See, that'd be a great one. I'm trying to think. Let's think great finales. As far as car chase scenes go. God, I mean, okay, all the Bourne movies, you know, Jason Bourne.
Yeah,
right.
Usually it ends with a big wreck.
You know, that's got a big climatic scene at the end where the Challenger runs into, what, the bulldozer or whatever that thing is.
Oh, Vanishing Point, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where it started out as a Dodge, ended up as a Camaro.
Ended up as a Camaro.
See, that's pretty awesome. That's a pretty cool trick.
That's a pretty hard hit.
It
knocked the brand right out of that car.
If he'd have just been in the Dodge, he would have lived.
Oh, man.
Or American Graffiti, when the 55's laid over, you know, the big rollover at the end, and you look at it, the car's got single exhaust, and it's like, this ain't the same car I've been watching the whole movie.
It drives my wife wild. I'm like, what? You know, why did they just do that? You know, it just had dual exhaust, now single exhaust, and it used to drive her nuts, and now she everything like that pisses her off too. So
I always wonder too, like, why they don't call in, you know, somebody to consult on these things and say, hey, while that car is laying upside down, chances are the differential itself won't be burning. Might be something with fuel in it.
The differential's on fire.
Guys, I got to tell you, back that we were talking about earlier about that friend of mine, that camera guy, on one of the shows he was working on, he texts me while he was working. He goes, dude, you got to see this. And it was for a street race scene, this whole thing. And he was making fun of the car. And you know, here's this lead camera kid making fun of the car. And the special effects guys getting mad at him, like, go away, leave me alone. This thing had like a half of a blower resting on the hood with like a cardboard, you know, blower belt that just ended into the hood. He goes, why can't they get somebody like you down here as like a tech guy to make this stuff right? Like, well, yeah, I could find a blown car. That wouldn't be a big deal. Why would you have to make this thing? Yeah, oh, and of course, then he, you know, he shows me some more. It's like, I don't even know how this stuff keeps passing. How do people buy this stuff? You know, when you have a drag race, say you got it, you know, we'll just say it's a 12-second car. I've played around lots of street stuff, and I'm sure everybody else has too. And I don't know how many times I've gone back and forth where you're, you know, you pass the guy and he catches you, and you pass him and you catch. It's like, wait, I don't know what kind of drag race that is.
You shift it 13 times. You basically got a diesel 18-wheeler transmission in it with a splitter box.
You know, the guy edges by me, and then I go by him. It's like, well, how is this happening? How are the cars that even? Where it's like, okay, the guy just pulled 50 horsepower on me, but oh, nope, I just reeled him in right as I made the shift. Right. I'm lost.
Can you imagine if you actually saw like an NHRA race that was that way? From the stand, you'd be going, what in the hell did I just watch?
And a quarter mile race that takes 84 seconds.
Right.
You just gave me a brilliant idea for a YouTube series. We need to get a bunch of footage from an NHRA race and just extend it out like that.
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome.
Keep switching back to the drivers. Like, and there he is, he's made a shift to second. And he's made a shift to 19th.
And they keep on looking back and forth at each other.
Especially like a top fuel car where the guys just basically point the thing and just pray. They can't wait to pop the chute. He's like looking over at the other guy and checking his gauges. And, you know.
We call that movie Heart Like a Wheel.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's a fuel car. That was a 14-second pass in a fuel car. I'm impressed.
Think of all
thing not overheat or everything.
All the opportunities for one-liners in those. Not today, son.
Yeah. Well, then in Heart Like a Wheel, when the thing blows up, it blows all the oil up above the motor and into our face instead of down like it normally does.
Yes. Yes. When in real life, it would have been shrapnel hitting you in the face. Yeah. There'd have been no oil. You'd have been
get dry parts up top. You get wet parts down below. Yeah,
you'd have been dodging aluminum chunks. It would have been way scarier than the oil on your face.
Picking shrapnel out of your teeth. Out of your tooth.
Yeah.
The one that's left.
Hey, I got a new cap. I didn't have that before.
Or I love it when some of these shows have like the engine will blow up and it blows the hood off the car.
Right.
Like, I've seen cars hit telephone poles and it won't even dislodge a hood from a hood hinge. But an engine explosion, that hood's gone.
Gone. Yeah, completely removed from the hinges. It's gone.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's got to be a company out there that makes, like, you know, an explosive hood hinge.
Yeah. It's probably some aerospace company making the special bolts and the
same guy that makes the hydraulic ram, you know, that lifts the front end up while you're spinning the tires. Yeah, that's
one too.
Yeah, smoking the tires and pulling a wheelie.
And doing a wheelie. That's always impressive.
Yeah.
That's some power.
That's some horse shit, but, yeah.
Hey,
you know, I saw the first Fast and Furious. I was just like, why waste the rest of my time? I wanted that 2 hours back. I never got it back.
I didn't watch the whole thing. It was so bad. I couldn't do it, man. It was.
I don't know if I watched the whole thing.
It was so wrong.
It was a Sparco ad from the very beginning. I think that's what it was. Yeah. I think it was a 2-hour Sparco ad. Nothing against Sparco. It's just like every scene had something Sparco in it.
Those are some cars that could have benefited from deep dish, you know, teddy bear wheels, but
and lots of camber.
Yeah, in all honesty, that's a franchise that could have benefited from somebody that had some technical ability for the first one to make it really realistic. That franchise would have aimed in a totally different direction. Yeah. Now it's kind of the laughing stock to anybody that doesn't do imports. And for 80% of the import guys, they look at it like, this movie kind of sucked.
But they make gobs of money.
They make gobs of money. You can't hold that against them. I mean, they took something that they knew they were going to make money, and they just kept stamping them out. You know, it's all about making money. I mean, I don't care for the movie, but obviously there are enough people buying tickets that did.
Right. I watch it mostly for the story.
Yeah, I'm a big Dom fan. Yeah,
that's why I watch them. I mean, there's a lot of good character development. I mean, over the series, Dom has gone from a gruff guy who only cares about family to, you know, this older kind of gruff guy who...
Well, you know, in the first movie, he was living his life a quarter mile at a time. By the ninth sequel, he was living it 9 sequels at a time. Pretty amazing.
It was a quarter mile at a time, and you know, what was it, 84-second quarter mile? Is that?
Yeah.
You know who really liked that movie was Mike Thurmos. There was a guy that loved that movie.
Tell you, because it was the best advertising.
He's got nothing but free promotion off of something that the kids really didn't get.
Nope.
NOS is a brand, guys. It's not it's not an actual gas.
NAWS, NOS.
Nitrous oxide systems. I think they were out of Cyprus back in the day. They were out of
something
Cyprus.
Like that. They were down there somewhere. Yeah,
Mike owned the company, and man, he got some great advertising
for free. They had to work at it. Their car got NOS,
and they even stretched it to a point where they made energy drinks. And
they're still out. I saw them on the shelf a couple of years ago.
NOS energy drink.
I drank it, but I didn't laugh very much. So apparently, it didn't work right.
That's because you gotta take a bunch of timing out before you drink it. You gotta pull at least 8 degrees of timing out before you take a drink.
Right.
And put a cold plug in it.
That's what I did wrong. Yeah. I didn't take any timing out.
Yeah, you didn't add more fuel.
Your plug was too cold. This one really self an adult.
I hate the term NOS. Because of that movie.
Well, yeah. My energy drink idea didn't work because I was trying to compete against NOS. I made one that was Prestone, and it just didn't go. Cats loved it.
Didn't have any return customers, but
bars leaks.
We sold a bunch of singles. I never came back and got more.
Got a leaky gut? We can fix it.
Bars drink.
I got a little tarry once.
Yeah. About 8 days later.
Man.
I'm packing on the pounds. I can't figure out why.
Wow. Man, I just feel like I'm full.
Oh, man.
Fantastic.
Wow, what happened to this?
Imagine having a Prestone energy drink, but having like little mini little like radiator bottles, just make it small like the plastic. Oh, man. It's so good.
Fill it full of Mountain Dew. Who knows the difference?
Yeah.
Well, hey, keeping our theme alive of people that won't be sponsoring us.
That's another one.
Hey, Prestone works great. It's just, it says it on the bottle.
Well, it tastes really sweet, I hear, but,
Yeah.
After two glasses of that, you see a double. That's great.
I'm honestly not really a fan of movie cars. I kind of always, I don't know.
Like,
I look at them and go, man, if the technical advisors would have just dropped the car down a little bit or changed it where, you can't put a blower on a car without a tub, narrow rear end,
Right. Just,
yeah. There's a lot of hot rod rules that I always apply to it, and I don't think anybody in the movies is that technical.
We should offer our services up as consultants.
I'd love to.
I'm not saying we know everything, but I mean, I think we at least represent kind of the automotive everyman.
I'd love to, because in one of my movies where I was the technical consultant, they'd have a bank robbery. The guys would get into a slammed out car. It would be bottoming out against every manhole cover in town. It would basically be tearing itself apart. And
we're right on their tail. They're going in this. They're slowing down for the intersection. They're
slowing down.
They took off.
Slow it down to about 3 mph going at a 45-degree angle to a drive.
They're going into this parking. They're slowing down over the driveway.
I always wondered when these guys come running out of the bank. Okay, and most of them hop into one of these cars. The money apparently weighs nothing. There's no additional weight. That car should be sagged. Wait, because all these guys are running out with 5-6 bags full of cash, right? Yeah. They throw it into the car, and the car just kind of okay. I want to see one where they get in, and this guy and the rear tires are rubbing on the inner fender walls.
Or the car's jacked up in the back, and one of the lunkhead idiots on the crew forgot to swing by the Chevron station to fill up the air shocks.
Oh, damn it! Larry's not getting his cut now. Way to go!
But speaking of car kind of movies, and granted, it's not really a car movie. I mean, there's cars in it, Speed Racer. I've always been kind of glad that that movie never gained popularity. I mean, think of how interesting car shows would be these days. You pull in and everybody's got a Mach 5 or some car with saw blades on it.
You're talking the full-length movie that came out about 10 years ago, that one?
Cartoon ever made.
Well, the cartoon was. Really? The movie was the worst LSD trip you could ever go on.
Oh, yeah, the colors and everything like that.
Oh, my God. It was
Yeah, that thing borders on a fever dream.
Now, didn't the dudes that did The Matrix, didn't they do that movie?
Yeah, the Wachowski. Oh, wait. Yeah. Brothers. It's not brother or sister now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wow. Yeah. That movie was intense.
I never saw it. I never saw the movie.
Yeah, nor did I.
Oh, you need to. It's there's a really gritty scene in there. It's a love scene. It goes on for like 40 minutes.
Like a drag race. Yeah, there you go.
Was it somebody in Jim Jim?
Is there a drag queen?
I was going to say, yeah. I was trying not to bring the monkey into it, but yeah.
I say the monkey. I said Jim Jim.
Oh, no.
I didn't say the monkey.
I know. I got to edit.
No, but you're right, Brad. The cartoon, that was the most violent cartoon ever. How many cars went flaming over the side of mountains?
Always. Episode, somebody went flying over the side on fire, dying. You go, this is not Bugs Bunny, because comes back. Somebody died in this.
There's a car cartwheeling down a mountain, and the tires are flying off of it, and the guy's just screaming. It's like, wow. And his kids are like, this show is great. Can't wait to get my license.
That'd be another fun one to re-edit. As horrific as it would be, but just all you hear is the screaming in the background for the remainder of the race.
Just it's like people being burned alive. Oh no! Oh,
I think I can gnaw my leg off.
But you use that, and you put it in like Death Race 2000 or something like 3000, whatever the heck that movie was. That really awful movie where they hit all the kit cars.
That movie is fun to watch if you, you know how like some people put on like Dark Side of the Moon and then queue up Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. If you
queue up Death Race 2000 and just play nothing but Zippity Doo Dah on loop, it's a way different movie.
It sounds like a bad LSD trip or something.
Now, was that the one with David Carradine and the really crazy looking freaking helmet he was wearing?
They're driving like a laser 917 or whatever the heck he was driving, one of those
swing axle
kit cars.
Well, think about all the movies that have come out after that where they tried to like, let's make it like Death Race 2000, but make it really believable. Like the guys in prison, the race that they had. I can't remember the name. It was so bad. I think it was a Jason Statham movie. It was bad.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, yeah.
Shoot, that wasn't that. It wasn't the other Bridges of Madison County.
No,
was it Escape from Bayonne or Escape
from Madison County?
Escape from Madison County.
Oh, dude, I couldn't get out of this place, man.
Greatest crossover ever. The Bridge to Bridge Race is on. Ooh.
But unlike the original, 14 photographers were killed in the making of this movie.
Escape from Madison County. Clint Eastwood dodges the gauntlet in his 65 GMC pickup as he tries to escape a lowly housewife who just won't let go.
And a rolling pin. You gotta make it realistic here.
Oh, my hell.
Snake Plissken.
Oh, we gotta have him on there.
Oh yeah.
Or just give Clint Eastwood the patch, and it's you're just Clint Plissken.
Clint Plissken. It's Uncle Clint.
This is delightful.
Oh, it went sideways in such a cute way.
Great movie.
Clint.
Oh, I'll picture that movie.
If we don't write this, we've lost.
The good thing is with as bad as movies are, how could we possibly go wrong? I mean,
I'd go to a theater to watch that one.
Imagine like really remaking all of these like sappy movies for guys. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Kurt Russell as Clint Plissken in Gran Torino. Oh, man. That's a good, Alex. You did good, man.
The real sappy love stories. Just try to make them car related. You know, message in a bottle. Just be like nitrous in a bottle.
Nice.
It could be a hydrazine in a bottle. It wouldn't be nitrous. It's
nice.
Ooh. Make it a real deal.
Hydrazine.
You know, I mean, Titanic could really benefit from a good car chase.
Oh, yeah.
Around the upper deck.
Anhydrazine.
Well, if that doesn't become your catchphrase now to fix everything.
Wait a minute. Think about it. That movie had a car in it. Remember? There was a car in the car.
Yeah. They were messing around in the car. That's right.
Ooh. That it did. Hey, but
that's right.
Brad, that needs to be your, that's going to be your new nickname.
Fast and Furious Titanic Drift.
Arctic Drift would be great. There we go, dude.
Arctic Drift. Titanic
Drift. Of course, you know, the Titanic hits an iceberg. The cars both fall off the deck and just continue racing.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. Nice.
Well, see, that makes a transition in Nitro Circus, see? So the transition could actually happen. Everybody's saved by Travis Pastrana.
Right?
Titanic 3, Arctic Drift, directed by Brad Justad Hydrazine King. I'm just going to call you the Hydrazine King. Done.
Got to have Samuel L. Jackson because, you know, he's in everything.
Yeah. Hey, nice callback to earlier today.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of what that was from there.
Fantastic. You know, yeah, that would be good. I mean, you can't really do it. Like Battlestar Galactica, nah, doesn't really need a car chase.
Yeah.
Although you could use the Knight Rider car in that with the whole Cylon thing.
Prosthetic hairpiece or chest hairpiece, you know.
What about, like, you know, in the first Star Wars, they run out of the bar and they get in the the aluminum Falcon and they're trying to escape. And you know, what if you would have got like in a Dodge Charger or something?
See,
you know, what did it have to get in that
Dodge
thing for?
A Dodge Omni.
There.
Oh my God! Yeah, have the Interceptor from Mad Max show up.
There you go.
Just have an old early '60s four-door Falcon beat up, painted like aluminum spray paint. It's the aluminum Falcon.
And we're back to the Illuminator.
That's right.
Ooh.
The Illuminator.
Hey, I've got a buddy who, after listening to our last podcast and talking about where we were talking about that, he really wants to donate an award of sorts if we were to do something with the award that we spoke about last time. So,
that's kind of cool. Nice. I think that'd be awesome.
Illuminati.
Yeah, the Illuminati. Thank
the
you.
The Illuminati.
Unless you're from Australia, that would be the Aluniniumnaughty.
There you go.
Something like that. I don't know.
That would be kind of cool, though.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, Todd, you know, hey, we need to talk, buddy.
I still think we definitely need to do that. That's one of those things that needs to happen. Kind of the quiet trophy.
Yep. We're going to end up having, in a couple of years, people are going to build just for this trophy.
Wow.
Am I setting the bar too high?
No, I think this would be awesome. Hey, we made it to the grade eight, but we don't give a shit. We're hoping for the other thing.
That's right.
You won the really... Yeah, this other one kind of does it for me. Dude's packing up Sunday morning. What are you leaving for? The awards aren't till later on. Nah, I got this covered.
Yeah. I got the one I wanted.
The 74 Pinto got the round six award. I'm out of here.
Hey.
You just got the Riddler. Why did you do a big old burnout out of the building? Because I want the other one.
I want the anonymous award.
What's that? I can't tell you.
And that one requires burnouts and, you know, hydrazine.
Jeez.
But it's a secret.
You know what movie I would like to see? You know, I'm going to make a... What about a TV and movie crossover? What if you had, like, okay, like, the Brady Bunch and John Wick? We're like, okay. You know, like, Marsha is just hell-bent to get her station wagon back, right?
And instead of a football, she got hit in the face with a grenade? I mean, what... Didn't bust her nose up, but it knocked a bunch of teeth out. Yeah, so it's a whole different angle of the Brady Bunch there.
What was that Kenny Rogers movie with the Bad News Bears kids? Six-pack.
Six-pack. Oh, my God. Six-pack. Well, then that whole time they had six-pack Stroker Ace.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that was a who doesn't want Jim Neighbors as your chief mechanic? I mean, come on. Right. Go away!
Okay, there you go. Okay, let's think about this now. Actors that would be the worst ever crew chiefs in a NASCAR-based movie.
Pee Wee Herman.
Well, that was...
I knew you were boy.
2 pounds down.
Paul Lind.
Oh, Paul Lind. He's your spotter. Go high, low.
Oh, Stevie Wonder is crew chief. Oh, I want to write this now. The heart-wrenching tale of NASCAR's first and only blind crew chief.
Spotter Mel Tillis.
Oh, jeez.
Well, what happened? I couldn't tell.
I will guarantee you, if Stevie Wonder was the crew chief, there would be no tear-offs on that windshield. Because you ain't getting them.
You don't need them.
I don't need them.
You don't need them.
Marty Feldman spotting for you.
You're clear in turn one and turn three.
Keep hearing tap. What the hell is that? That's my cage.
Turn one and turn Oh, this went so sideways. Oh, but it's great.
Marty Feldman with some headsets on up on top of a building spotting for you.
Oh, jeez.
So there you have it. Wow.
I got nothing left, man. That was pretty funny stuff. I got nothing left.
Get yourself some more hydrazine. You'll be fine.
There you go. Fine. I got a connection. I got a guy. So
great.
I've got a guy that burned a lot of that stuff up. So lots of great hydrazine.
What if he made like hydrazine energy drink? You can drink it, but you can't smell it. If you smell it, it's gonna be, you're screwed up.
Stirred, not shaken. Yeah.
Tastes like apple blossoms. Complonk.
Yeah, and the commercial off in the background, you see a little explosion over a hill. Guys are laughing. You can't shake it. You just can't shake hydrogen. Hydrogen, dear lord.
He could be your spokesperson. Hydrogen.
It's hydrogen. Oh my god, he'd be the greatest ever automotive cartoon character.
Just kind of make it like Fireman Jim from the old In Living Color, where he's just like completely burned up. He's missing his ear.
Hydrogen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there you go. If you wanted to tune in and listen to four grown men giggle, this is your show.
That brings us a whole new audience.
Yes, men giggling. That's going to be a hot topic on YouTube.
Yeah.
Again, right next to the AMSR videos where somebody's like, and next we're going to talk about this bag. You hear it crinkling. And those videos get like 2 million hits a pop, dude.
Oh my hell.
We need to do some of those. We need to do like cold starts for people. The cold start relaxation.
Cold start, rolling coal.
Yeah, what a great fun time. So should we pull the plug on this thing before it gets even more dumb?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is even possible.
So how do you want to kind of draw this thing down?
I was going to sing the song that we came up with the other day, which was Should Have Put a Wing on It, but
Nice.
That was fucking funny. Oh, I rolled at that.
I got nothing. How do you outro out of this mess? Right. I guess we hit the NOS and go for it.
Just make it clear, you know, again, every movie idea that we discussed has been copyrighted, and
we own the.
You'll hear from our lawyers if we see any of these things ever come to print or come to the screen.
This is our intellectual property.
Saul is going to call you.
Intellectual. So we just can't say intellectual. We got to make it.
It's our
dysfunctional property.
It's our little, to steal George Carlin's line, these are our brain droppings. we could wrap this up. This is an episode just full of what amounts to be nothing more than like automotive fan fiction. Outstanding. I guess should we offer people to, hey, if you're listening to this and you see this posted on the site, I'm sorry. And second,
our disclaimer.
Bridges of Madison County is one of your favorite movies. I apologize.
You're going to want to join us for the second part. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, this will come back to haunt us. So, that said, speaking of hauntings, though, the movie Ghost could have really used a good car chase, but that's just me.
Ronin style.
So, I have a little Righteous Brothers playing in the background. Unchained Snow Tire, or whatever the song that was. Unchained Melody.
Patrick Swayze is Stuntman Mike in Ghost.
They're trying to form clay pots in the backseat of a car doing 140 through city streets.
They're using a clay, one of those little clay spinners with an actual like small block Chevy power in it. It's like spinning at 7,500 RPM.
It's a little PTO hooked up to it, cranking it away.
Holy crap.
The ghost of Patrick Swayze is Stroker Ace. That's the scariest damn movie of all time.
Patrick Swayze is a dead bouncer in Ghost House.
Ghost House.
Days of Ghost House Thunder.
Tom Cruise.
This movie makes no sense. You get to see the director's cut. It all comes together.
Documentary about Australian strippers posing as race car drivers.
Or vice versa.
Days of Thunder from Down Under.
Kind of works either way.
Movie about nothing. Produced by Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. Maybe he should do the remake of Speed Escape Racer.
From... Oh, okay.
What were you going to go with?
Escape from Madison County. Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Jerry Bruckheimer. They could
Michael
team
Bolton?
Up.
What?
Be a lot to shoot out an explosion.
Have a soundtrack.
Nobody dies. Am I watching the A-Team?
Nobody died.
Oh, dude. Okay. Let's pull this before this gets worse.
Could it?
Is it possible?
I don't think so. This one is not going to win a Golden Potty Award. Okay.
All right. Well, so we'll do an outro thing and call it a day.
Oh yeah, we should have done that like 40 minutes ago.
Oh well.
Thanks a lot for listening. I don't know if it's a moot point to ask people to subscribe, rate, and review at this point of the game.
Hopefully they'll come back.
Brian's got medication. It. It's been 2 weeks editing this. It's going to be 4 minutes long.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, 4 minutes long with the new, intro music that I find. All right. But hey, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, listener. Or I'm not going to sugarcoat this.
A lone listener in Kazakhstan.
Brian's down to one dad. The other one heard the last episode and left. Yeah. I have nothing to do with you. See what you've done to our family. good times. Alrighty. So, again, yeah, hey, thank you, listener. nothing more for you. And hey, if you've got your own great movie ideas, feel free to share them with us on the site, because you can do that. Or you can be like the, you know, 42 and a half billion other people on Earth who just ignore our website. That'll work too. all things considered, yeah, look for me in the third part of the franchise for the, you know, Escape from Madison County series. I'll be using my given name, which is Brian.
I'm still Brad.
I'm Alex, at least until episode 4 comes out. Maybe.
Yeah, and I'm still Eric, and I'm not going to change, I don't think, unless there's money behind it.
Outstanding. Hey, you get it. There's a price for everything.
Oh, you know. Pride does have its price, right?
There's no pride here in Madison.
Right.
That left a long time ago.
No pride here in Madison County.
Thanks again for listening, and be sure to keep up with us gearheads over on our website at www.round6pod.com. And if you'd like to, be sure to follow along with us over on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
To get some really low-budget Snake Plissken wannabe dude that's like a homeless guy that has a real eye patch, sign an autograph. Yeah.
So he pulls it up and he can squint to read what he's signing. He's like, hold on, this is...
got White Snake playing in the stage behind him, and then there's none of the original members.